What if every day you had the chance to experience more love and intimacy in your life? We're going to be sharing stories of struggles and triumphs in love, sex, and relationships, along with expert advice to create more conscious connections. Enjoy this podcast with Dawn Richard. Wake up to real love.
Hi, everyone. This is Dawn Richard, also known as The Awakening with Dawn. And this is the Wake Up to Real Love podcast show, where we share stories of struggles and triumphs in love, sex, and relationships, along with expert advice to create more conscious connections. I'm super honored today to welcome my new friend and colleague for a couple years, Renee Reich. Hi, Renee.
Hello, Dawn. Thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Yeah. Renee is an amazing woman who was told she may never speak again, which is really incredible. She's here today to share her story of resilience and how losing her voice began her journey of finding her voice and how she's helping people around the world today. Renee Reich, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Dawn. It really is. As I said, it's an honor. It's a pleasure. It's a privilege to be here and share our voices together.
Yeah.
It's really, yeah, it really is. We don't often realize that this is a beautiful instrument that we get to play every day.
Yes. And we met on Clubhouse a couple years ago. And yeah. When I heard you speak, you just have a beautiful, beautiful energy and your story is really powerful. And we spoke yesterday for quite a long time. And I just said, oh, I know what you have to say is really important. A lot of people need to hear. So I read your book.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I actually wanted to start off because when we were talking yesterday, you said, I don't really know where I lost it. I mean, I'm going to ask you your whole story, but I wanted to ask you, starting like when you were a kid, when did you learn that you had to keep quiet, that you had to be silent, that you couldn't speak up for yourself or say what was really real for you?
Great question. I don't know that I can actually consciously recall an incident mm-hmm. or a situation that took place where I was told not to speak. I do know as a young girl in school that I was bullied. I didn't even know a name of what it was. I was shoved around in the hallways. I was kicked under a desk. I didn't know what it was. And I do recall that as my life went on, I never really spoke up. I felt that if I did, it might make things worse. Mm-hmm. Where I learned that, or where I felt that that was acceptable to be treated less than ideally, mm-hmm. I can't tell you that. I don't believe that we come into the world thinking that, though. I think it's something that either was observed or was somehow told to me, or something that I felt somehow. But it seemed to happen at different stages in my life where I didn't speak up. Mm-hmm. Until I was no longer able to. So you're asking, look at this clear in the throat, right?
Uh-huh.
When it happened, I can't consciously pinpoint a situation where I felt that.
And when you were getting bullied when you were a kid, I mean, was this like on the playground? Well, you said in class, but nobody ever noticed? A teacher never noticed?
It was in the hallways. I remember some gals, you know, not just the guys who could be bullies, but these, you know,
and mean girls.
I never had done anything to deserve that. I was just walking down the hall and just was getting pushed and shoved and kicked under my desk and you know, in the classroom, and I just didn't understand why, mm-hmm. but I didn't speak up about it. And I think I just felt that if I did, it might make things worse. Because imagine if you don't feel you did anything, and I know I didn't. I just was going to my class.
In a sense, yeah.
Right? And so if I hadn't done anything and that was being done, then what happens if I do say something? then what? It could be worse. So I didn't speak up about it. And then eventually a teacher in one of my classes saw that I was very distraught. So maybe something had just happened. And then she kind of took me under her wing and said, this isn't going to happen again. And so kudos to her for seeing something and saying something and sitting me down. And it kept popping up again at different points in my life where I wasn't speaking up. It just
At
kept
work,
happening until
at work.
at work. It happened. Yeah, I just at different places. I just didn't speak up. And it was interesting because I was in a, you know, in a, well, at that point, I was an associate at work. And then eventually I became a manager and I was always there to defend other people. But never speaking up for me. I was gonna defend everybody. I was gonna speak up for them. I was gonna, but not for my own voice, for my own self. So it was really an interesting kind of dichotomy of how and when I would speak for somebody else and take care of other people, but never that gal looking back at me.
Yeah, I think that actually, Renee, is really common. I don't, I'm gonna say especially in women. I don't know if that's true or not, but I feel like it is because a lot of women that I talk to say that I couldn't talk. I felt like I needed to be the peacemaker. I needed to make everybody else more comfortable.
Yes, that was me, just always making sure that the peacemaker, no yelling, no arguing, no, like I just want everything to be okay. And so I never wanted to make waves in any way, shape, or form. But what I realized in losing my voice, as I said, that really was the beginning of finding my voice. And I'm not saying that people have to lose their voice physically. I did. And I feel that the reason I did was to really have a better understanding of what it feels like not to have a voice in which to speak, because I never used it the way it was intended to be used, because I never spoke my own truth. And so going through that kind of pain, it was a virus that attacked my vocal cords ultimately, is what I had. And I was
Which
told
is
that was my vocal.
a crazy story. I mean, as I
Oh.
was reading it, I was like, how in the heck does that happen?
How does that happen, Dawn? How does that happen? It was a virus. I actually, you know, I asked the doctors, how do you get something like this? How does that happen? You know, it wasn't like strep or anything. I mean, I thought maybe that's what it was because the pain was pretty intense. And they tested me for strep, but it wasn't. They said, it's a virus that attacked, look at that, as I'm speaking about, they attacked my vocal cords. So I was no longer able to eat or drink or swallow. And it was pain that I never could have even fathomed. And I really fell into a deep depression during that time. It was just very, very, very intense because I was no longer allowed to be with the public. And there was no answer from Western medicine. They didn't have anything. Here, I'm going to put you on this antibiotic. We'll check back with you in 10 days. There was none of that. Doctors took about 20 vials of blood from my arm in about 3.5 months, four
Yeah, that's a
months.
lot. That's a
It's a lot.
lot of just stress that you're dealing with because you're so uncertain about what's going on. I mean, everybody, I would imagine you're just seeking answers, right? What is this? What is this? What is this?
Yeah, if I could even spoken those words, would have been a blessing, but I couldn't even speak those words. So, you know, your thoughts or things, I didn't know what was going to be happening to me. I didn't know what was taking place in my body. I was not spiritual at the time, so I can't say that I did all this journaling or I went within or I found the light. I can't tell you any of that because it's not true. What is true is that I was just in a very bad space when that happened. I was working in retail. It was a Christmas holiday season. I was managing multi-million dollar teams and departments and taking care of over 80 different people within those departments, maybe even more. And I got sick. I felt like it was a sore in my throat. I went to urgent care the next day because I was off. And the urgent care doctor said, you're right, there's a sore in your throat. The next day, my best friend took me back, and it was like that sore gave birth in a way. And I say that in the book as well. You probably read that. And it just turned into many sores, multiple sores. And the doctor told my girlfriend to get me to the ER. She goes, you've got to get to the ER now. And we went to her place because we knew that the ER is going to be a place where you're not going to be in and out in a minute. So we went to her place and she got like different things to bring. She knows the ER is kind of a cold place to be. And so she knows I get cold and that, or she knew. And then, I say new because she's watching over from heaven right now. And which I know you know that. And, it was really incredible. And I was there for several hours. They put this mask that was like, they shot like a viscose kind of spray into my throat to numb it. And then I was home for the next almost 4 months.
Wow.
And I just kept getting calls on my cell phone with messages because I couldn't answer it, saying, go for more blood work. Wow. What were they doing? What could they not figure out?
What was going through your head the whole time?
What do I have? Why can't doctors help me?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they figure this out? What is going to happen to me? That's the conversation. I was really just in a depressed state of mind because I could no longer be with my best friend, my parents, any loved ones. I was isolated from the world and told you can no longer be with the public. You're highly contagious.
Wow.
So someone who loves people, who thrives around people, could no longer see or speak or be around people.
Yeah.
Just isolated from the world with no voice and just kind of withering away. And it was a painful existence. What I will say, because I don't want to stay in that space with the listeners, and I want them to know that I got through it. And how did I get through it? Whatever you believe, God, source, universe, I was brought to a very painful space and time in my life to be able to go through it and to know that the purpose was the pain that I went through. I found my purpose from the pain. I found my message in the mess. And it wasn't right after healing from it. It was years later, after being released from that corporate America job that I was in. That was 2013. I will say it was about 2018 that I began thinking about it. And I didn't know why I was thinking about that time again, maybe because it was after I was released and it was another big thing that happened. 2017 is when I was released from that corporate position. 2017 is when my best friend in the world transitioned.
That must have been
2018
so hard.
Is when my dad transitioned. And they left this physical world. So it's not about the losses that I've withstood, but it's about my voice that I have found in the process of the losses. And I wouldn't wish any losses on anybody. Losing your best friend, losing your father, the job that I was in for
really
25
hard.
Years, which I made my life, but it wasn't my life. I made it then. I let everything define who I was rather than defining who I was on my own.
Well, you did say in the book that you were always like running around trying to work and do and busy and produce and, you know, strive and all of those things. It was
you
like,
did read it. Yes, I absolutely said that. I was running around like a chick with my head cut off, trying to take care of everybody and everything. And it was the people pleasing. It was the fear of judgment. It was the limiting beliefs. It was the low self-esteem, the looking for the outside validation for the inner self-worth. I often relate this for those listening, and I'm going to date myself here. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it or YouTube it. YouTube owns Google. And so it's Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. And if you think about that movie, Dorothy was thrust into this land, trying to find her way back home to Kansas. And she comes across three characters, the Scarecrow looking for brain, the Tin Man looking for the heart, the Lion looking for the courage. And of course, she had Toto, her beloved bestie and her companion. And Dorothy herself looking for her way back home.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in the ruby slippers. The Tin Man didn't need the heart. The Scarecrow didn't need the brain. He was the smartest one there. The Lion didn't need the courage. He's the one that leapt in front of the Wicked Witch and defended Dorothy and everybody else there. Each of the characters had within them what they were looking for outside of them, including Dorothy. She always had, and they always had within them what they were looking for outside of them. And that to me is we all have within us what we are seeking outside.
Why do you think so many people look externally?
Because they don't believe in themselves. They don't think they're good enough. They are looking for the outside validation, just like I did. I was always looking for the next shiny object, the next award. And who was I showing the award to?
Mm-hmm.
Was it for everybody else to let them know that I was good enough, or for me? And I'm going to say at the time it was showing everybody that I'm good enough and deserve your liking me or loving me, or that I'm good enough to be in your life or something like. And that to me now, it sounds pretty sad looking back. But I know that others are in that situation. And
yeah.
I didn't realize I was, you don't know you're in it until you're beyond it. You can't see inside the, you know, outside the picture from inside the frame, or the forest from the trees, and all those, you know, those sayings, which are they're true. You can't, and I couldn't see it. And it really makes a difference and an impact, because when you realize that it's not the outside validation you need, you validate yourself, your own self-worth, and believe in yourself. And we've all been told this BS. It's our belief system. Because you asked me that question, where did I learn that? Where did I learn that behavior? And it could be a parent or a guardian or a teacher. But realize that other people are on their own journey as you are on yours. And they may say or do something that is less than ideal for you. But because we're young and we're naive in many ways, as we're growing up, we don't know. And very impressionable. Great word. Very impressionable. That we trust that no like and trust. It's a parent, a teacher, a guardian. We trust them. Why would somebody say something that wasn't nice to me? Why would somebody tell me something that wasn't true if that's my parent or guardian or teacher? I look to them for it. You look up to them, right?
Right.
The people you trust. So if they're telling you something or treating you in a way that's not right, you must think you deserve it, because I did. And so that became my BS, my belief system.
What was your relationship like with your parents?
I had a good, and I still do. My mom is still here. My dad is watching over. And I just somehow think that I bought into my dad. He traveled a lot. He was the breadwinner of the family, and mom was home with the kids and, you know, going to the parent-teacher conferences, making sure we had, you know, things for show and tell, and Girl Scouts and brownies and Cub Scouts and, you know, and all of those things that she was making sure we were taken care of. So she was caring for us while dad was traveling around and you know, making sure he was there to support his family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you ever see your mom stand up to your dad, or your dad stand up to your mom, or then stand up for you?
They always had a voice. I will say that they always had a voice. I didn't think that they didn't stand up to each other or for each other. They, you know, had a very long marriage. It was 61 years, 61 wow. and a half years they were married. Yeah.
That's amazing.
That is, you know, yeah. You don't always hear that anymore today.
Yeah.
So I know my dad's still with us, watching over us, and I'm grateful for that. And I don't know where I learned that system, that belief system, to think that of myself. But now what I've done is I am now coaching and training and helping others because of what I've, my own story, my own, you know, journey in this life. And it's through my own experience that I can now serve others in a greater way with a stronger voice than I could have before. There are so many coaches out there. Everybody's, you know, doing coaching of some sort.
Right.
And people say, well, what makes you different? Why you? What makes you unique? And it's our own experiences. I would encourage people to find out about, you know, whoever it is they're working with, if they do have a coach, and find out why they're doing what they're doing. What's their story? What's their journey? Because I think until you go through something, I've got a Bachelor of Arts in Sciences and Psychology. I, you know, have a great degree. I'm proud of it. But nothing that I went through, no course I took, no test I passed, no speech I gave, prepared me for what was to come in 2013.
Yeah.
And the lessons I've learned and the impact I've been able to make since that time. The book that I wrote that you, I'm grateful that you read it.
Yeah.
It's Finding Your Voice.
Show Your Beautiful Picture, Newport Beach.
Yeah, Newport Beach, California. Yeah. That is not a Photoshop. I took the dress out 2 days before. I chose that pose because my best friend and I went, we had gone to Newport multiple times, and one time during a vacation in San Diego, she had her foot on a rock and went like this. And then I did the same, took a picture, and I realized, I know what, because it's looking to the heavens, like finding your voice.
Yeah.
You're looking up for answers, and the answers are within. So in the book, it's a workbook book. So it's an evergreen tool, because after each chapter, I have what's called a takeaway.
And you get I love to, that.
Yeah, you get to write your answers down, and I leave like 3 to 4 line pages. So it's now an evergreen tool, because we, especially as women, don't give ourselves enough credit for it, just how far we've come. So when you answer the question, if you get the book on 2/24 or 2/23 as we're interviewing, you can say, how would I answer that question? And then you look back 3 months later, 4 months later, 5 months later, a week later, and you could see how far you've come. And you go, oh my gosh, I forgot. That's when this happened. That's when that was going on in my life. We don't often do that. I do have in the Kindle version, and people who like a Kindle, I have a Kindle version, but you can't write your answers down.
Right.
I like to have a physical book. I also have the audio, which I actually released this last year. Finally, I released the audio, and I'm grateful to Von Foy, who I met a couple of years before when I was speaking at a women's event. And he said, I'm going to do your audio. I'm going to help you release your audio. And 2 years later, I contacted him and I said, let's do it. And so it's funny because people used to say, who's going to do your voiceover? I do a teaser in the audio version. I'm like, what do you mean who's going to do my voiceover? Did you read the
of
title?
Course.
Dawn, I would love you to. But
that would be hilarious.
Finding
your
voice.
I'm going to get somebody else to speak
I'm get
it
somebody
out
else
loud.
Oh my goodness. So I said, it's going to be me. And it was me. I did the voiceover for it. So I encourage you, even if you get the Kindle or the audio, to also get the physical book, because I truly believe what comes up comes out, and you can look back on what you wrote. You can look back on the answers you wrote in those pages, and it's going to provide you great insight into yourself, into your own journey. And you can see really just how far you've come. I'm also the creator of the Voice Blueprint.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Tell us how that actually works.
Oh my gosh, Dawn, I'm so grateful. I came up with it because I wanted something around voice. Everything I do is like with finding your voice. So what kind of program can I create that will walk people through the journey of finding their own voice? And so I came up with the Voice Blueprint. We're all born with our own blueprint in this world. We each come in with our unique blueprint. I was just talking about what makes us unique, right? We have this unique blueprint. What about our voice blueprint, our voice print, and what we do and how we speak and how we speak to ourselves? And so it takes
that's a really important one.
That is the most important of all.
Yeah.
Not just how we speak, but how we speak to ourselves.
Right.
The thoughts. Thoughts are things. How are you speaking to yourself? What are you saying that you don't believe you're good enough? Because the more you say it, the more you will see evidence of it in life.
Right.
And then there it is.
However you believe.
Whatever you believe.
Positive or negative.
100% on either direction. Say, good things always happen to me. Like, there's more good things.
Uh-huh.
That's gratitude. Be grateful. Then you see, why do I always attract these relationships? Why do I always attract these kinds of people? There they are again. I told you this happens.
Mm-hmm.
There's your evidence.
Right.
But I'm going to say one thing. Be grateful for that too, because there's evidence of where you can make the shift.
Mm-hmm.
It's evidence of what's not working and where you need to pivot, where you need to shift, where you need to change. And change does not take place in a minute.
Right.
It happens over time. So also don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you say, I'm just going to change. I got to change. This situation has to change. Well, how is it going to change? What are you going to do different? Again, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing and expecting a different result.
Right.
It's not going to happen. It can't happen. It can happen when you make the decision to make the change. You know, the choice, change, chance. You've got to make a decision. Take the chance, make the choice, and make the decision that you want to do things differently. You want to have a different life. If you're not happy with the way things are, reach out. There is another way. There is a better way. The Voice Blueprint takes you on a journey from vulnerability to empowerment in the journey finding your voice.
Why is it important to find your voice, Renee?
For yourself.
For what?
For yourself.
For what?
In your life, to be able to speak your truth, to be able to set boundaries. I did an article recently on LinkedIn. It was after the Super Bowl, and I did an article about there's boundaries that are in, you know, in sports. That's what I did the day after the Super Bowl. It was on the Monday after. And I said, there's boundaries all over the sports world. There's, you're out of bounds. This is out of bounds. The ball's out of bounds. There's fouls in baseball. There's, everything's got boundaries. Yet, why don't we set boundaries in our life to speak your truth, to stand up for yourself? It's showing your value of yourself, that you are good enough, that you are, you know, the word no is a complete sentence. It's okay to say no. It's okay. Saying yes to everybody, then what are you saying to yourself? That you're going to go and make sure everybody else is happy?
Right.
You didn't get your own work done?
Everybody else's needs are more important than my own.
How is that right? How is that right? That you're not setting your own boundaries? And that people will respect you. The people in your life, the ones that are supposed to be in your life, will have more respect for you.
But it's interesting because a lot of people will say, oh, you're just being selfish.
No. You know what I will say? Heck no. Heck no. And Dawn, I'm going to even say, even with our interview, you had different things that took place. Yet we were going to do this a different day. And then I had to message you and said, oh my gosh, can we, I'm so sorry. You're like, it's okay. And I was like, it's okay. And neither of us really felt like the other needed to apologize because
Right. Life
happens. We go with the flow of it. And it's not always something that like, because you don't want to let anybody down.
Right.
So we apologize. I don't want to let you down. You don't want to let me down. But we also, you know, we have this total adoration and respect for each other.
Right.
And nobody's here to hurt anybody. We're like, first thing I said is, it's okay. It happens. When's your next opening? When can we do this? And we both came up. We found a day and time and we did it. And no, you know, it was fine. It worked because people have to be understanding. Things don't always work in the time that it's supposed to, but that you think. Yes, that's why I changed. I started changing what I was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
In the time that you think it's supposed to happen,
right.
It happens when it's actually supposed to happen. Yes.
Right.
Divine timing, I like to say.
Yes.
So it is very important for you to speak your truth, to speak up. It's the relationship with yourself that is most important. That's the biggest and most important relationship you'll ever have. It's not in a love life. It's not in, you know, at work. I mean, all those are important. They're important, yes. But it starts with the relationship you have with yourself. You can't expect others to treat you a certain way if you're not treating yourself in the way you want to be treated.
Yeah. That's a big one, Renee, because I think a lot of people grow up maybe in not so great circumstances where they're not treated very well. And so they get confusing messages about their value, their lovability, their worthiness, their, you know, ability to speak up or not speak up, you know, that we develop these protective mechanisms. Like you said, I got kicked underneath the desk or the table or whatever. And I thought that it would get worse if I said anything. And so then you learn to, it's not okay to speak up because something worse will happen. And obviously if there's, if it's a safety issue, yeah, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Protect yourself, but go tell somebody else. Right. And so it's really complex. It's really complex of how to learn, when it's safe, you know, when it's safe to speak up, who it's safe to speak up to.
Well, that's the thing. You're, as a young kid, I mean, being pushed in a hallway, my mom's like, you know, years ago, she's like, you never even said anything. I didn't come home and say anything. I didn't say anything.
Wow.
You know, I didn't speak because I didn't know what would happen if I did.
Right. That maybe you would get blamed or maybe you'd get in trouble for it.
I didn't know. These were bullied. These were girl bros. I was pushed in the hallway.
Yeah.
I didn't know. What did I do?
Right.
I was walking from class to class and they probably knew that I wouldn't say anything. And I was the innocent girl walking down a hallway being shoved into and just being shoved around. And then it happened, you know, when I was in my work environment, I was bullied in different ways. I never spoke up. I didn't want to make waves. The only waves I like to make now, these are right. The waves of the ocean.
Right. Okay. But
and make a ripple effect. Now the waves I like to make is a ripple effect with my message to put it out there to others and to be able to be that vessel with a voice. So it's definitely something I'm proud of. A lot of it has to do with confidence too. Speaking your voice has to do with your confidence. And when you don't believe in yourself, you don't have confidence that your message is that you're valued, that you're worth anything. So I think it all is encompassing of the internal dialogue that you're having with yourself of the not good enough, no value, you're not worth it. You know, and that's when we get into these relationships that are less than ideal and why we do things and accept things in our life.
Put up with
what?
Put up with.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. We put up with because we don't think we deserve better. And that's why people end up in abusive relationships because they don't think they deserve better. And then once you're in it, then how do you get out of it? Because if there's so many different scenarios in that, but it's again, the relationship and the dialogue you have with yourself that matters most.
So let me ask you, because you told the Jack Canfield story in the book and it was like, what were you telling yourself during that incident?
Wow. I'm not going to go into too much because I want them to read the book. That was a very interesting chapter.
You didn't talk about your thought process. I mean, you told the story, but I want to hear your thought process of what was going through your mind.
You know what? I'm going to tell you. So at that point, there was no thought process. And when I did that, everyone now wondering, what did she do? Go read the book. Read the book.
It has to do with Jack Canfield, author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, which is a big deal, which was one of Renee's idols.
Yes. Yeah. He's
fascinating. It's a fascinating story. I just kept going, wow, this is so interesting that this thing happened to you. After you had healed, you know, after you gone through your healing journey, and then you basically were brought it right into your face again.
Yes. I think in that moment, I really didn't think, I just acted. And I think that's why that took place. That's an interesting chapter. Yeah, it's an interesting chapter. I think sometimes in life, and it was good in that moment that I didn't really think.
Yeah.
And he did. He put me on the spot with that too, as you read. But I'm glad he did. He's a great, great gentleman. I think sometimes in life, you definitely need to think before you act. But in that moment, I'm glad I didn't think too hard. I just acted because of a lesson that I learned in the process of that too. So, it's a really interesting to go through life and have these different experiences where you learn, and looking back on them, I can see how things took place and why they took place. And the timing is really incredible, of why things are happening. I do a lot of journaling And I also do my own quotes now. There's quotes in the book. Those are not my own. I say who the author of the quote is with each quote. I've got Barbara Bush. I've got a lot of great quotes in there. But I do my own quotes now too. And it's really interesting because one of them, and this is really, is you gain strength, courage, and confidence. When you talk about confidence, by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face, you must do the thing you think you cannot do. And that's by Eleanor Roosevelt.
I love that quote because I think that a lot of people have challenges. They feel afraid and they don't want to, it's like they want to get it perfect the first time. And if they don't get it perfect, which you're not going to get it perfect the first time, it's like taking a step when you learn how to walk. You didn't run a marathon when you took your first step. So it's like, how can we give ourselves permission and grace to make mistakes along the way?
That is a great question. I'm going to say you just do it. One of my chapters, as you read, is called Perfectly Imperfect. And when you take that perfectionism away, thinking you have to get it right, you don't have to get it right. You have to take the step. I don't want to say have to, but
You can
or should.
choose to.
To when you choose to take the step, yes, to do something different. To put yourself out there, so often I played it safe in my life because safety was that. It was safe. And what happens if I do this and I fail? What happens if all of that stuff, the thoughts in your head? But what happens if you succeed? What happens? All the lives you can change, including your own. What happens then? So much good can come from that.
Well,
When you take a
and
chance.
there's no, I think that we have this misconception of failure. Like I remember when I told my husband I wanted to get divorced, and he's like, "We failed." And I said, "27 years of marriage is a failure." Like a lot, there are a lot of people who don't last 27 years. So it didn't work out, but it didn't work out, and we're choosing to not be together anymore. But we have three beautiful kids, and our lives are unfolding in different ways. And so if you stop being so hard on yourself, that's really what it, you stop being so hard on yourself. You stop, expecting this misconception of perfection, because there is really no such thing except, I think, in nature. Nature is perfect. Nature is perfect. That's about it. We're human. So
We
we
are.
are
We are human.
imperfectly perfect in our
Right.
humanity.
Yes.
So how can we give ourselves grace to take risks, to fall forward? If I take one step and I fall, at least I took a step and I pick myself back up and I say, how can I take another step? And how can I take another step instead of saying, how can I get, to the finish line of the marathon, one step at a time?
Right. And I'm going to say something also to that. That's beautifully said, Dawn. When a baby comes into this world, they don't start running. They don't start walking. They crawl. And as they crawl, eventually they start pulling themselves up to learn to stand. And guess what? They fall down and you're there to pick them up. And maybe you're not always there to pick them up, but they come back, they pull themselves back up. But how many times do they fall before they can walk?
A lot.
You don't, so you, right, you have three, right? And you didn't
Three
punish them
kids.
and say, you didn't punish them and say, what's wrong with you? Why can't you stand up? You didn't say, are you stupid? You can't even stand up straight. No, of course not. You helped them. You nurtured them. You loved them. You love them through it. When they came home, maybe they got a bad grade on a test. You didn't maybe yell at them and say, why'd you fail? You love people through it. And maybe some people did have parents who yelled at them when they didn't do well in school. And I definitely understand that. And that's, it's interesting because everyone's on their own journey. And even though we grow up in different households, our parents are also on a journey. Our guardians are also on a journey, but we don't know that. So we just, you know, these are the people we look up to. So when you're in an environment like that, it doesn't make it easier. It makes it a little more challenging as you're growing up in that environment until you are an adult and you realize that you can have your own voice and that you can be your own best friend and advocate for yourself.
That's a huge one, Renee. That's huge because I think a lot of people, they're so busy pleasing everybody else. They don't know how to advocate for themselves. They don't know how to soothe themselves when they fall. You know, they feel like they're going to crumble to pieces, a million pieces, and not be able to pick themselves up, or they fall into a depression and think, you know, I can't get out of this. But it all takes time.
It does. It is a process. I know we want to go from A to Z in like a minute. I did too. I get it.
You used to, right? You used to.
I did. I totally did. Like, I was running around so much. I never stopped. I just didn't. If I stopped, then I was like, well, even my days off, I wrote that too, right? I look forward to a day off, not to take a breath, but if I, you know, if I'm here off this day, I could do this, I could do that. And it was not even taking care of myself. It was like doing things for work because I wanted to be able to go back to work and spend time with the people that I was in charge of on the sales floor. So I want to be able to nurture them and be there for them and help them grow. And so I took my days off to do things for work. So I wasn't in the back office doing things that I could have done, I felt, when I was off of work. So I would stay up late, get up early, and, you know, work on days off to do things that I thought would make my life easier when I was at work. That's not the way to be. There's got to be, to hear the work-life balance. I had no balance. I was just always on the, you know, on the other side of just working.
And not taking care of yourself.
Never. That was the last on the list. It was, it wasn't even the last on the list. It wasn't even on the list. I didn't even make the list because it was everybody else that was more important than me, and to make sure they were happy. Because if they were happy, that meant I was okay. I was happy because I made sure everybody was taken care of. And that's, you got to just, you know, stop that behavior and put a kibosh on it. So in creating the voice blueprint, it really is a method to really help people go from that vulnerability to empowerment, to empower themselves, to find their own courage and finding your own voice. Like I said, it doesn't mean you have to lose your voice, but somewhere in your life, you're not standing up for yourself. You don't feel you're valued enough.
Right.
You don't think you deserve it. So you stay stuck in an area and you're like, I can't seem to get out of this. And you're like beating yourself up. Mm-hmm. Yet you're seeing everybody else succeed. I wrote in an article in a magazine last year it was, and it was, and in the article I wrote about people's real life, R-E-E-L, versus their R-E-A-L.
That's a great one.
That was something I, yeah.
That's a great one.
I wrote it in an article in a magazine, and I really feel that that was something that would hit home with people.
Yeah.
Because especially with social media, and especially during the pandemic when everyone's, you know, home more than going places, right? You're scrolling, the R-E-E-L that people are posting, the highlight reel.
Right.
Versus what's their real life? What's going on behind? They're showing, look at me, great, great, great. But what's the R-E-A-L? What is their life really like? And listen, if it's that, if it's the highlight reel of their real life, that's great. But I would venture to guess it's not. Because people don't want to post about the stuff, the junk that's taking
that's
place.
Hard. Yeah.
The hardships, the hard stuff. They don't want to show that because who's going to want to look at that stuff?
Yeah.
So they post the highlight reel. Look how wonderful things are. So what does that do to the person that's scrolling? It makes them feel worse about themselves.
Right. I don't have the highlight reel life, so I must not be good enough, or I might not be worthy or whatever.
Who's going to want to connect with me? Who's going to want this? Who's going to, no. And so I say real raw Renee. I like to keep it real.
I like
And
that.
the, you know, and I say in the book when I wrote, it's when I talked about it, it's real raw Renee, because there's going to, and this, Dawn, there's places in there where you're going to laugh. Well, that's so funny. I can't believe she shared that with us. That's a pretty funny thing that she said to us that she's willing to share. And then there's places where you'll feel that's so sad that this gal actually felt that way about herself, because I wanted to keep it real. I wanted you to be able to relate and me to be able to relate with, the readers. When you're relatable, it shows that factor. I'm as I bleed like the next person. My life has had a lot of obstacles that I've had to overcome, and I didn't know how I was going to overcome it, what I was going to do. But those obstacles also became opportunities for me. And now I'm here to help you find those same opportunities and to get through the obstacles in the journey of finding your voice.
So, what do you want to come out of your voice network? Like, what's your mission?
It's to really elevate the voices of people out there. I've created this community, Dawn, it's the Finding Your Voice Network. So I welcome people to join me on that journey. I have about 13 VIPs in there right now, and they're heart-centered, and the group itself is over 900, but the VIPs are about 13 that we are brought on, and to elevate the voices. I've done interviews with them. I've done interviews with other thought leaders around this world. And to elevate the voices and the goodness that people have to share what they're doing with a ripple effect, to put it out there, to let people know they're not alone in this journey. This is life, and we're not here to do it alone. And I encourage people to reach out and connect with me, because this is something that I'm grateful I was able to come through and grow through. I say what we go through, we grow through, but it's doing it together. You're not alone.
Well, and isn't it ironic? I mean, every person that I talk to, it's the thing that was the most challenging becomes the work, becomes how you're here to help people. You know, whatever you went through, grow through, that's how you help others grow as well. And so it's this beautiful ripple effect.
It absolutely is. I keep saying I love to speak with Oprah, because she's got this Super Soul series, Super Soul Sunday. And why Oprah? Because I go, why does she want to talk to Oprah? Everybody wants to talk to Oprah. But I specifically do. There's a reason. And it's because I feel when she was a young gal in the South growing up, she was raped. She was molested. She went through hell and came out of it. And what has she done with her voice? How has she
Powerful.
used it? How has she used it now for so much good? And that's what I'm here to do, to elevate the voices and shine a light upon the voices of the issues in this world, the situations that are going on, and the goodness that's out there, what people are doing in this Finding Your Voice network, in this journey of putting people's voices out there. I interviewed a doctor today that Deepak Chopra endorsed his book. So I mean, I'm connecting with amazing souls, and it is in joining forces that we link arms together in elevating the vibration of this planet, who desperately needs to hear our voices and to lift each other up and help each other out as we walk each other back home to ourselves.
It's so beautiful that you said that, because I feel like that is our journey, that we come in this life perfect, perfect, regardless of your birth circumstances. Perfect, beautiful, pure, soul, heart, soul, body, mind, spirit, whatever. And then we have these experiences in life that cause us to like put blinders on, that we don't recognize that anymore. We feel that sense of disconnection, or that isolation, or that sense of loneliness or unworthiness. And then we have these experiences in life that cause us to open our eyes and actually see that, oh, I am okay. I am good enough. I'm still a mess. there are parts of my life that are a mess. Like, look at my house. I'll show you. But really, it's part of our humanity, you know, that we all have certain gifts and talents that we're here to share. And we can only share them by speaking up.
100% on. It is. And so many times I feel like our voices have been silenced.
Mm-hmm.
And we are afraid to speak our truth. We are afraid to speak our voice because of the fear of what if.
Right.
The false evidence appearing real, F-E-A-R. Right. Or you could change that and say, face everything and rise.
Mm.
It's got the same letters. The same letters.
Wow, I love that.
And be excited instead of fearful. Fear is your projection into the future of something that didn't even happen yet.
Right.
Or a previous experience that you think might happen again.
Right.
But that's a fear of living in something that hasn't taken place. That your fear of the past is the past. The present is what we have. And every moment is our future. Every moment is our future. So embrace it. Be happy you're here. I have a gratitude journal. It's says here it is. Good vibes. I write my gratitude journal.
Love it.
And I'm grateful. And I write in the morning and the evening. So I wake up and I'm grateful. And at the end of the day, what is it that took place that I'm grateful for? Choose something. I'm grateful for the interview, the opportunity to interview with you and to share our voices together in this interview on this platform. I'm grateful to be here in my mom's house and spending time with her. I am grateful to be in the position I'm in to help others in the journey of finding their own voice.
Mm-hmm.
And to be at the helm of the Finding Your Voice Network and to be able to interview people and connect with thought leaders and connect with people around this world to help them put their voice out there and to shine a light on things that need the light shined upon. I'm grateful for all of it.
And even, I mean, there are bad things happening around the world, but there's so much goodness. There's so much goodness. And so how can we focus our energy and time and attention on the things that we want more of, right?
Well, the way to do that, I don't know if that was a direct question or if you were saying it rhetorically, but I'm going to answer
both.
It.
Both.
Is where focus goes, energy flows.
Yeah.
Right? What you focus on will expand. So, you know, I said this earlier in an interview. I was in a dwelling. Is a place. A dwelling is a home. A dwelling is what you dwell upon in your mind as well.
Mm.
So do well by doing good in this world. Don't dwell on the things that you're afraid of. I said this, it's like real estate. Your mind is a lot of real estate there.
Yep.
And if you need to put the for sale sign up, get rid of it. Get rid of the stuff that's not serving you and open up space and give yourself grace and welcome in the people and the opportunities that are meant to be there. I move out of the dwelling that no longer serves you and into a place and space that does.
Yeah, that's really, really important, Renee, because I think that so many people, however you were raised, you know, it's like, we all suffer, you know, this is my cross to bear or my, what, you know, whatever to deal with. And yet life is meant to be lived. And
life
when
is indeed
you're,
meant to be lived.
When you're like holding this sense of heaviness and suffering and pain, and it's like, how is this serving anybody? It's not, it's only holding you back. You know, it's keeping you tied to the things that that prevent you from moving forward in life in a way that has more joy and more possibility and more. I know that some people have said, "Oh, Dawn, you live through, you know, you have your rose colored glasses on," and I'm like, "Yeah, but the view is much nicer from here."
Absolutely, you know, and I will say, your life wasn't always that way.
No, I mean, I haven't had a fairy tale life, but I mean, I've had a good life.
Yes,
but and nobody's life is this.
We all have. Yeah. So it's not like you said, the rose colored glasses, but isn't it nicer to see the glass half full than half empty?
Yeah.
Isn't it nice to pour from an overflow than a broken glass?
Right.
And to fill your own cup first before you pour, so you can pour from the overflow?
Yes. That's very important. I mean, that is internal work. To recognize that you are worthy of filling your own cup. You know, that self-care is not selfish. It's like, if I'm not taking care of myself, I'm thinking about when my kids were little. If I didn't take care of myself, I mean, granted, I was sleep deprived, as every new parent is, but if you're not taking care of yourself, how can you give to your kids? How can you give to your partner? How can you give to your parents? How can you give to your community? It's like, you have to carve out that time for yourself and tell yourself that I need to take care of myself. Otherwise, I'm no good to anybody.
Absolutely. And you need to respect that. You know, my best friend, there are days she's like, I just, you know, you can't come over today. I just need time. And I was like, what should I do? Why can't I come over? Uh-huh. And it wasn't about me. She needed time. She had a couple different jobs and, you know, and it, you just need to respect people. You would want someone to respect you if you said, you know what? I just need to rest.
Yeah.
I just need to then say, okay. Right. Or if whatever that looks like, you just need to give people that time and that space. And last night I was going to make dinner for my mom and I ended up helping, but I did like the salad and she did the main dish. And I said, I'm going to come out. I'll be there in a minute. She goes, you know what? You do enough. I've got this. She's 86 years old.
I know. Sweet.
And I heard her in the kitchen. I said, and I was like, Shani, I said, I'll be right there. She goes, no, you do enough. And I had to, I had to just say, it's okay.
Thank
Let
you.
Let her do that.
Thank you.
And say, thank you. And say, thank you. And I am grateful.
Yeah.
And so she made the dinner and I made the salad and it was all good. And it was very good. She did a great job. And we both chipped in. And instead of saying it had to be me doing it or she had, so no. And it was great. And I was grateful.
Yeah.
And it also showed her that she's, and I know she's more than capable of doing it. I like to give back, but it's like me doing. And she's like, no, this is, I got this one. And I was, as I said, very grateful that she did. And as she's a great lady. I'm so happy to be here and spend time with her. I've got a place about 35 minutes north of here. And I just spend a lot of time here since Dada transitioned. I just feel it's where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for the opportunity to spend this time with her. So it's a gift.
Because you never know how much time you have. So make the most of every moment, right?
Nobody knows, no matter how old or young you are, nobody knows.
Right.
So just be grateful for the time you do have rather than projecting on what if. You don't want to ever look back with regrets and say, I could have, I should have, I didn't.
Right.
And then that's not a good space to live in.
Right.
You have an opportunity, take advantage of the opportunity, do something with it. Don't say tomorrow, next week, next year. Nothing is promised. Right now, you have.
Now.
The power of now, right?
You're right. That's Eckhart Tolle. Yep. Power of now.
Eckhart Tolle. Yeah. Yes. It is. It's a great book. I have it too. Yeah. It's a great book. And it is the power of now. What are you doing now?
Yeah.
What are you going to do, you know, in the future? The future is now. Like I said earlier, every moment is the future. People think of the future of next week, tomorrow, next year, I'll do it later. What's later? I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see, you know, don't go to bed angry. make amends. If you're, if there's people you need to make amends, do that. You don't ever want to lay your head down and say, oh, I'll talk to that person later. I'll do that tomorrow. And then if you're the one that's left and you don't have that opportunity, then what?
Right.
This is just be grateful for what you have. Appreciate the people in your life. Let them know you appreciate them.
Use your voice to tell them.
Use your voice to tell them. Absolutely, Dawn. Beautiful. It is. It's, you know, we have a voice. I can say, I played piano by ear years and years ago, and I don't play an instrument per se, you know, like the drums or the guitar or anything, but I do have an instrument, and that is my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to play it and use it every day.
Yeah.
And so I speak with gratitude. I speak with grace. I speak the truth, and I speak from my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the people that I find myself connecting more and more with, those heart-minded, those heart-centered people. Yeah. We're here to do well by doing good.
Right.
We're here to lift the vibration of this earth. We're here to put their voice out there in a great and grand way. And I continue to put my voice out there to serve in a great way as well. So that's what I'm about. That's what Finding Your Voice Network is about. And that's what my journey is about. What I was taken through, the pain, was to serve my purpose.
Yeah. Really, really beautiful, Renee. Real raw, so Renee.
It is real raw, Renee, because that's the only way to be. You know, if you can't put yourself out there.
Yeah.
And not everybody may agree with what I say or do, but that's okay.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't, because I did write this in it too. I at the end I wrote this, that I know and I truly believe that the right people that are supposed to be in my life will be.
Yeah.
And the ones that are not supposed to be, it just makes room for the ones who are.
Exactly.
And I've had people in my life that are no longer around. I don't mean just because they passed. I mean that just seem to have fallen out of my life.
Right.
And I didn't understand why at the time. I was like, what happened? Like, why are these people no longer present? And I realized because more people of the right people that were supposed to be my life were coming in.
Yeah.
And it was only making room for them.
Making room for better energy, resonation, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So be grateful for what you have. Show gratitude. Even when things that you don't think are working out and you're like, wow, why did that happen? Write it down. Be grateful, because there's a silver lining in there and you don't always see it, because trust me, I didn't. When you're going through it, there's definitely like there's no silver lining for any of it.
Right. Why is this happening to me?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But in every difficulty lies some lesson and some blessing. It's that, I don't know if you know that story, and I'm not going to tell it very well, but it was basically like this Japanese parable about, you know, the son was supposed to go off to war. Oh, that's terrible. And then he broke his leg. Oh, that's terrible.
Yes.
Oh no, it prevents him from going to war. Oh, that's good. And so it's like every situation you can look at as good or bad. And
yes,
it's like I try to reserve judgment and just have the experience of the journey, even if it's challenging and difficult, so that someday you'll look back and put the pieces of the puzzle together. Like maybe you won't understand every single aspect, but I feel like when you look back, you're like, oh, that's why I went through that, because this conversation that I'm having with this person right now is a result of all the things that I went through, and I couldn't
yes.
be talking about that.
Right. Right. You know, one of the questions I think you had asked and is like, what would you change and would I have changed? And I'm going to tell you, Dawn, nothing.
Nothing.
Even the hardships, and a lot of hardships. It's like, why wouldn't you change your hardships? They were pretty intense, because it wouldn't be the person I am today without them.
Right.
I wouldn't have created the voice blueprint for people around the world. I wouldn't have been the founder of the Finding Your Voice Network.
Right.
I wouldn't have written a book because I didn't have a bucket list to put it on. I wouldn't have written this book.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say, I wish I had the book when I was growing up because it would have helped me, but I hadn't lived the pieces of the journey that I needed in order to write it.
I just got a vision of a child's book.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Put that in here. Yeah. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that kids need to hear. Kids need to read. Because if they, you know, by us learning it, going through our own journey, it's like we need to pass on this to help the future generations so that everybody can feel more comfortable in their own skin, speaking up for themselves, honoring what's right for them.
100%. And, you know, I've thought about kids a lot. I was on the phone with a gal last year from an app that I was on, and she was a student. She didn't really feel like she had a voice. And I spoke with her for a while, and what came out was just incredible about her own journey and as a student in school and in university.
Yeah.
And she was so grateful for our conversation, because I like to really lean in and listen. Our ears, these, you know, we have these two things on either side of our head, and we have one mouth.
Right.
Yes, we need to be heard. We also need to listen. The words silent and listen have the same word, the same letters. When you transpose them and you lean in and listen, through the silence, you can hear the underlying message of what's coming through. The hurt, the pain, the anxiety of what somebody is trying to put out there that they can't even speak about.
Yeah.
But it's coming through when you lean in and listen.
So that's the other side of finding your voice.
Absolutely. It is. It is finding your voice is taking the time and making the time to listen to our loved ones, to listen to the mouths of the babes, the next generation, the future generation.
And to listen to yourself.
So much. You're younger, that inner child.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a beautiful, beautiful soul, Renee.
Ah, Dawn, I am so grateful for this opportunity, for you, for our friendship, our sisterhood that we have together. It is in sharing our voices together, we are able to lift others up and help others out. I always believe we're climbing our own mountain. Yes. When you put one hand behind you as you're climbing, you bring others up with you, and we're not alone.
Yes.
You feel like you're climbing the mountain by yourself, but you're not alone.
Yes.
Our stories are, everybody's got a story. And the more you listen, it may be a different face, a different name, but the stories are so similar in the journey of finding your voice. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I believe we're here to walk each other back home to ourselves in that journey.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. So I'm going to ask you the last question. I'm aware of time. The last question that I ask my guests, because this podcast is called Wake Up to Real Love, is how do you define real love?
That is a great question. Real love, it's loving and honoring yourself. Real love is not giving up on yourself. The best four-letter word in this English language is love.
Mm-hmm.
And where there's love, there is life. Start by loving yourself. Start by honoring yourself. And just never give up on yourself, because you're worth it.
Mm-hmm. I feel that. All right. How can people get in touch with you, Renee?
They can reach out to me at renee@reneereich.com. That's an email, renee@reneereich.com. And just in the subject heading, just put voice and let me know that you heard this podcast. I think it's so powerful. And you can reference Dawn on this, and I will know that you heard it. But just put voice in the subject heading, and I'll make sure I respond to you. And I can put my Calendly link in there if you would like to set up a time to speak. I would be more than happy to speak with you. I offer 30-minute complimentary consultation. So please reach out. And I like to speak to organizations and groups. If you're looking for your own coach, let me know that too. It's in sharing our voices that we can really serve others in this world. So definitely reach out. I'm also on social media, so I can give you the link tree and got all my social media handles. I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter. So, but definitely reach out. I'll make sure you have the link tree with all my social media handles. And also can join the Facebook community, FYVN, Finding Your Voice Network. And happy to connect with you. So lots of ways, but the best way is going to be the email renee@reneereich.com and put voice in the subject heading, and I'll make sure we connect.
Beautiful. I know that people will have gained a lot of wisdom from listening to this conversation. So I'm super grateful for you to be here. And so for listeners, please subscribe to the Wake Up to Real Love podcast show, share with your friends, give a 5-star review, you know, share with anybody that you feel would benefit from this message of finding your voice. Excuse me. Clearing my show Dragra.
Yes. I'm going to encourage them to connect.
Buy the book.
Yes. Get the book. It's powerful. It's 83 pages. You could get it. It's something that I have it on Amazon right now. And it's definitely worth the read. It's an evergreen tool you can now keep in your toolbox. So take a moment out and reach out and get that, because it's really going to help you tremendously, or people that you know may need it yes. in their life. It's people have given it as gifts to their loved ones and friends and family. So I encourage you to put it in your repertoire of your reading, because it's a great, great material.
Definitely. It's a very entertaining story as well. And lots of crazy things happen, but you'll have to read to find out. So
thank you, Dawn.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to get in touch with me, I'm on all the socials at The Awakening with Dawn, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, blah, blah, blah. Send me a message. Send me a message. And I want to hear, you know, if people have questions, what they'd like to hear more of in the podcast. But I'm super grateful for you, Renee, for being here and sharing your voice, that you found your voice, that you're sharing your voice, and that you're helping other people find their voice, because it is super, super important to be able to stand up for yourself and recognize that no matter what you've been through or are going through, that you are worthy of love. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being here with me today, Renee.
Thank you so much, Dawn. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. So everyday listeners, wake up to more and more real love. We'll see you next time. Take care. Bye.
Subscribe to the Wake Up to Real Love podcast. Leave 5-star reviews. And of course, share with your friends. You can find Dawn on various social media platforms at Dawn Richard or at The Awakening with Dawn.